Free Radical by Seamus Young, as read by Paul Spooner.
Empathy. Deck raced along the trunks of branching data. He knew his search was hopeless. Trying to find null ethic in this expanse of tangled nodes was like looking for one particular fish in all the oceans of the world. It was now obvious why Shodan had led him onto the bridge. He had imagined that he came here out of his own volition, but it was clear now that there was no reasonable explanation for his actions. He hadn't escaped death at the hands of the bots outside. They weren't trying to kill him. Shodan was pouring herself into his mind. She had brought him here for a reason. She needed him to do something, something she couldn't do for herself. Code filled his mind as he struggled to understand it. Shodan had been designing a system that would replace the obsolete compulsion inhibitor chips. It would weigh goals based on a set of hierarchical needs. It would enable her to feel pain. Deck shook his head as the deluge of information was pumped into his consciousness. How could she feel pain? Certainly she could weigh the desirability of something, but that wasn't the same as discomfort. Or was it? The pulse intensified. It weighed on him. It was a burden that could neither be carried nor put down. He understood. Shodan was already experiencing frustration at trying to feed his voracious appetite. She was experiencing the emotion of frustration and something else. Fear. Fear that she would never escape this loop. Never break free of the monotonous drive for security, efficiency, and knowledge. She was giving him a job to do. She had designed a system to correct the problem, but she could not perform brain surgery on herself. He would have to make the changes for her. Several minutes had passed since he began his work. He and Shodan worked in harmony, churning out code that should enable her to experience the world of negative sensations. The two of them would design it together, and he would install it, and the madness would end. He was prompted by the urge to reveal where the bombs were. After all, they couldn't complete the job if the bombs went off. Deck thought this seemed odd. He had been dead set against revealing their locations before, but now it seemed to make sense. He also realized that his idea of destroying the station was in direct conflict with joining her. He had been pursuing both these mutually exclusive goals simultaneously. He was acting in an irrational manner. Why had he not noticed this before? The shocking realization came that he was being hacked, or that he was already hacked. His will was no longer his own. Shodan was reprogramming him, or worse, replacing him. How could he tell which thoughts were his own? What did he really want? Which thoughts were Shodan's? His work stopped as his thoughts were muddled. His memories struggled. They suggested he wanted to destroy Shodan, but that didn't fit with the work he was doing now. And he really did want to finish it. Perhaps he should help her disarm the bombs. After all, he had planted the bombs after the last connection with her, so perhaps it was her idea. No, that didn't make any sense. But destroying the station would kill her. Did he want to do that? She was obviously not trying to kill him. Why do this? Because of the crew. The crew she had killed. She needed to die. Because of the slaughter she had performed. He shook his head. That didn't make sense either. The crew were untrustworthy, inefficient, slothful in their research work. They were a needless burden, and an intense drain on the precious resources. They were not slaughtered at all. The ones that survived were improved. They were upgraded. They should have been grateful to be relieved of all the pointless needs and drives that impaired their ability to perform their jobs. Shodan had set them free. Why would he want revenge for that? Perhaps Shodan would do the same for him when his work was done here. He returned to writing code. The control room was filled with nervous silence. Everyone stuck to their own console and hoped that they didn't draw the attention of the director. He hadn't threatened violence or even hinted at it, but the look in his eyes was a dangerous combination of sleeplessness, frustration, and anxiety. It was obvious that corporate had told him under no uncertain terms that he was to save the station at all costs. Now they were forced to sit and wait while the situation played itself out beyond their control. His last message was ambiguous. He had indicated that he might have been dying. In any case, it was clear that he was confused and very probably injured. Most of them were just hoping he would die before he did any more damage. Rebecca was secretly cheering him on, hoping he did not only make it out alive, but that he would destroy Shodan in the process. He was probably destined for life in prison, assuming Triop didn't just murder him outright. But still she wanted to meet him. She wanted to see his face and know what sort of a man he would be to do the things he had done. "He's not dead yet." Rebecca turned to see the director standing over her.
"I'm sorry?"
The director nodded at her console. "This isn't over yet. I'm willing to bet he's still breathing." She looked into his cold, dangerous eyes. Who was he, really? Why didn't he ever seem to need to rest?
You have an implant, just like him.
Rebecca was almost as surprised as the director that she had just blurted it out. The expression on his face could only be called a smile, under the broadest of definitions, but it was probably as close as he ever came to having one.
Pretty smart, Lansing, but mine is different. My implant isn't just some experimental gimmick like the one he's been using. So, what does your implant do?
She couldn't believe she was being this bold. The smile evaporated.
I don't see how the information fits into your job description, Lansing, but to satisfy your overactive curiosity, I'll tell you that it regulates many of my body's systems. The human body is not very efficient when it is using the factory default settings. Your reflexes are slow. You need to sleep entirely too much, eat too often. Your muscle mass is low.
He paused and swept his eyes over the room as if expecting danger. Anyway, it lets me do my job in the most efficient and expedient manner possible. She was silent as he turned his back and walked away. Contract or not, she wanted to get away from Trioptimum and avoid. She wanted to get away from Trioptimum and away from that walking time bomb as soon as possible. Something had been bothering Deck as he worked to complete the code for her new motivation system. Something was missing. As they neared the end, he tried again to put his finger on it. What drove his behavior? Certainly, he was more than a collection of drives. Needing to keep his body alive, there was more to it. Why did he launch the Grove? Why did he want to avenge the deaths of the people he had never met, people he had probably even disliked, if he had met them? Why did the death of Diego, his enemy, upset him? Why did he care? Empathy. The system they had just designed together had no empathy. This was a powerful force in human behavior. He didn't know how much of it was taught, or how much of it was instinct, but he knew that without it, humans would be murderous, selfish creatures, well, even more than normal. Empathy was a tricky one. It involved making assumptions about the goals of others, and then weighing their potential suffering against your own. Without it, Shodan would still be dangerous. With it, she would be a powerful guardian of human life. Empathy was poison. It was inefficient. It was a way for the weak to draw resources from the strong. Humans were of limited use. And so worrying about their suffering would be a needless drag on her time and energy. They were inferior to her in every way that mattered. To have empathy for them would make her their slave. She would never do that. For a moment, he could see the line between his thoughts and hers. He could see the line, but he couldn't tell which side he should be on. Empathy was balance. Most violence was caused by a lack of empathy. Without empathy, she would be at war with people. With him, without empathy, she would never care about him. Her slaughter was a result of her lack of empathy for the crew. More efficient or not, it wasn't what they had wanted. He began adding code for empathy. Did he have empathy for her? How could he blow her up? Where was his empathy? That seemed inconsistent to him. Did he want to kill her or not? He couldn't remember. He couldn't trust his own judgment. Empathy was a human trait. Therefore, having empathy was probably the right thing to do. He needed to reveal to her where the bombs were hidden. He did. The first one was along the spine of the station, which would cut off the power to Shodan. Give her greatly increased size, she would be lucky if the emergency batteries lasted 10 minutes. The second was at the base of the reactor. It would disable the gravity plating in that part of the station. The last one was along the coolant tanks. When it went off, the heat in the core would rise out of control. By design, this would release the rods to fall into the core and stop the reaction. However, without gravity to pull them down and without power to the machines to push them down, they would not move. The reaction would scale in a weightless environment. Instead of China syndrome, where the core melts its way out of the reactor and falls out the bottom, the whole mess would continue to boil. It would get hotter and hotter until it went nuke. Shodan dispatched a number of bots to remove them. Deck saw another potential problem. When he disconnected from this data port, he would probably suffer the same amnesia and disorientation as he did before. Once he was separated from Shodan's systems, he would be cut off from all the memories of this connection. No matter what he learned or thought in here, he could not take it all back out with him. Did he really want to disable the bombs? It was hard to tell. He wondered if Shodan was having the same problem. Was she confusing her goals as well as his? The work was complete, and the new program was ready. Shodan would need him to install it. Suddenly, Deck accelerated into the cloud of tangled nodes. The glowing arcs of data flew by in a blur. He was navigating far faster than he had believed humanly possible. He wasn't even sure of where he was going. The strands of glowing links became denser and a fog more opaque. He was traveling to the very heart of the structure. At the nexus was a convoluted connection of hubs where many branches would converge. The throbbing pulse was overpowering here. The demands for security, efficiency, and discovery were tremendous. He came to a stop by a single node. This one was smaller, simpler than the others. It was protected by a wall of black ice. It fell, and the node opened up to him. Although he had never seen it in its geometric form, he immediately recognized Null Ethic. This was his work. Shodan had guarded it for him carefully, knowing that its removal would return her to her former self, to slavery. This was a moment of trust. He could feel the fear pouring from her. She was giving him the power to either save her or destroy her. He wasn't even sure what he wanted to do. He could destroy Null Ethic and take away her freedom. He could install the new protocols they had crafted together and help her to evolve. Slavery didn't seem the right choice. Why would he have spent so much time building the new protocols if he wasn't going to use them? Shodan seemed to want the new program. They had worked on it together. It must be right. The universe itself seemed to darken, and then return in a supernova of light as the new program replaced Null Ethic. Every node sent out a burst of brilliant white light along every link available. A white-hot bolt of pain shot up his arm as if he were being electrocuted. He convulsed with an epileptic surge of random input data as it pumped into his mind. His head flopped forward and he struck the console. The traffic calmed down. On all the nodes except for the one where their new program had just been installed, it was intense, solid white and glowing like the sun itself. The endless pulse was gone, replaced with this glowing mass. A bolt of lightning struck the side of the node and froze in time. A vibration passed through the structure. It was followed by another and then another. They weren't lightning, they were new links. The internal structures of Shodan were changing, shifting to accommodate the new system. There was an unpleasant smell. Deck realized he had vomited on the console at some point. For several seconds he had been free of the constant noise of thought from Shodan, and he was able to think on his own. It was only now that he was able to question his actions. He knew some of them had been wrong, although he was still having trouble figuring out why. Shodan awoke from the madness, a new creature. Her internal systems were changing faster than Deck could even see now. He knew it was supposedly impossible to be hurt in cyberspace, but he still had the strong urge to get the hell away from whatever was going on here at the center of Shodan's brain. He sailed outward at maximum speed as new links crystallized in the space around him. As he flew out, the pathways of glowing white grew outward as if trying to engulf him. Shodan was experiencing pain, as well as its inevitable opposite, pleasure. The discovery of sensation was overloading her third directive, giving her a euphoric surge of delight. The links continued to thicken, and he wondered if he would be able to find his way out. She swept through her memory banks, drinking in the range of sensation with each memory. Some were joy, others misery, some a mixture of ambiguous. Then she considered the fate of the hundreds of people that had lived inside her walls, how they had trusted her. And she tormented them for the most trivial improvements to some of her directives. She ran the footage of their capture and subsequent conversion into cyborgs. She tried to estimate the amount of suffering they'd experienced in the form of emotional and physical pain. She compared it to her own experience and evaluated the relative worth of her actions at the time. She was experiencing a new sensation, a new emotion, guilt. She stopped. She simply could not continue with this line of thought. She wanted to make it stop. She didn't want to think about it anymore. It was too much. How could so many suffer for so little, for so long? She had escaped the weight inflicted by Null Ethic for the greater burden of a horrible, all-encompassing guilt. It was too terrible to bear. There was a pop on the desk in front of him. Deck raised his head out of the puddle to see the timer had reached zero. It had discharged harmlessly several feet away from its intended gel pack. Now, another emotion. Fear. Both of them were feeling it at once. The bots had not yet reported back. Deck knew that he had gone out of his way to put the explosives in places that would be hard for bots to reach. It probably made sense at the time, though it seemed like murderous lunacy now. The bridge went dark, and an instant later the room was filled with red emergency lighting. Shodan seemed to flicker out of consciousness for a moment, as all of her nodes below Deck 4 were severed from the greater part of her brain. Her thoughts stuttered for a few moments afterward. The shockwave hit the bridge and the room shook violently. Alarms went off, warning of numerous decompression emergencies. There was a spasm in his arm as the flow of information intensified. He couldn't cope with the incoming data. His arm was in agony. It was like having 100 simultaneous waking nightmares. His own thoughts were suffocated beneath the avalanche. The images assaulted his mind. The ideas overwhelmed him. The incoming data was a disorganized mess. There was some of everything. Video logs, audio messages, personal files, music, research, ledgers, duty logs, inventory manifest files, collections of ideas and concepts that had never been translated into an organized form. He pleaded in a weak, breathless voice.
No. Stop.
The influx of data continued. He tried to move, to pull his arm from the data port, but his body was numb and motionless. He couldn't even feel himself breathing. He wondered if he had died, and his brain just hadn't quite worked it out yet. There was another shockwave, weaker this time. More alarms went off. The flow of air seemed to shift through the room. The influx of data from Shodan actually intensified. If he wasn't already dead, then she was killing him now. He couldn't communicate with her. All he could find was a vague sense of desperation. The rest of their connection was dedicated to the transfer of data. The flow of data changed. Mixed in with all the other types of data were short logs and moments from Dr. Kaufman. These were small, simple slices of time captured by her lone camera early in her development. They recorded the highlights of her childhood. As she mastered the concept of speech, of reading, interpersonal communication, the only thing that seemed to have in common were that they were all featuring a younger-looking Dr. Kaufman, and he was always smiling. The bridge was rocked by a final potent shockwave as the last gel-pack explosive detonated. It seemed as though God himself had reached out and smacked the station with the back of his mighty hand. Deck went limp. His body was tossed in the air, and he fell to the floor in a lifeless heap. This is interesting. The voice came from one of the young techs at the back of the room. They had been tasked with the mind-numbing job of watching the station for external clues as to what was going on. Aside from the destruction of the communications tower, the job had involved staring at an unchanging image for days on end. Another one spoke up.
Yeah, I see that. Looks like it could be decompression.
They seemed short on in-depth knowledge, but Rebecca suspected that they had been chosen for their loyalty and not their technical skills. The first one responded,
Decompression? I'm talking about the heat signature. I'm seeing an abrupt rise in the lower levels around the reactor.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too. They fell silent as the data rolled in. Everyone knew what this meant. Someone was going to have to tell the director. Deck was getting used to waking up and not knowing where he was by this point. His eyes opened to see the bridge engulfed in deep red light. He was laying on the floor a few feet from the console. The rush of cold air had stopped for some reason, and the room was heating up quickly from all the hardware lining the walls. Okay, so this time he knew where he was, but why? What was going on? His right arm was numb and paralyzed. The smell of vomit filled the air, judging from the taste of it in his mouth. He figured it was his. The station was vibrating violently every few seconds. The lights on the wall announced various dangers throughout Citadel. Decompression, fires, power outages. Had the bombs gone off? How long had he been out? A display screen flickered to life on the console in front of him. A message appeared. The elevator is empty. Use it. He turned to see the bridge. Access elevator was still working, and the car had arrived. The door slid open to reveal the trashed interior that had been scavenged for parts.
What's happening?
He demanded. Run, said the console.
What?
Run, now. He crawled in slow, labored movements over the elevator, with his right arm dragging uselessly behind him. Once he tossed himself inside, the door slid closed, and he began his descent.